you a fan of this podcast? Do you wish there was even more juicy content for you to sink your ears into? Well, there is. You can become a premium member of this podcast for $5.99 a month and get full access to an archive of over 50 bonus episodes. Additionally, we release a bonus episode every single month. That's a ton of extra content, including my personal interior design diaries, extra tips, my talking about trends, and so much more. Additionally, you'll be keeping us on the airwaves each and every week because your premium membership money goes directly back to making this podcast amazing. Check us out at affordableinteriordesign.com. Click on podcast to learn more and to become a premium member today.
Need a high-end designer or a lot of money to get a luxe look. Be your own interior designer.
This is Affordable Interior Design, the podcast.
Here's your host, Betsy Hellman.
If I sound a little distracted, it is because I am. I got a sitter for the baby, 3 hours, Monday through Friday, so that I could have a little time to record without having to rely on a nap span to get an episode in. That I could have some time to do some focused thinking in terms of working on my writing or a work project and just really not have to wonder, oh my gosh, is the baby going to wake up? Is she going to need me? Basically work with one other eye constantly distracted and watching the baby. So I've decided this is the best thing for me. And, you know, it's the most balanced way that I can get everything accomplished. But I must say, I've still got one ear open, listening downstairs, making sure the baby's happy, making sure everything's going well. It's very distracting. This is only week one. And it's so funny because with my other two kids, I definitely was less sort of attached or I don't know. I don't think it's codependent when you have a baby, but something like that, right? And this baby, I'm just so much more less willing to give her up or to trust somebody else's skills with her. She's so happy with me all the time that when I hear her upset for even a moment, oh, I can't take it. I can't take it. So that's what's going on here. But I highly recommend, you know, this time last year, I was pregnant. I had just known about it for about a month and a half, and I was freaking out. I tried not to show it on the podcast, but I was freaking out. 44 years old, two kids who were tweens. I had always wanted a larger family. It just hadn't worked out for us. But I didn't want to start again now. That was not the goal. And I was having a really hard time getting enthusiastic about that rather than being very regretful. Now that she's here, I'm just so enamored and I never want to be away from her. And I'm kind of relishing all those things that you say you miss or those things that you didn't get to do the other times around because maybe you were too busy or too distracted or had no idea how special and precious they were. And I don't want to miss a thing, but it comes at a price. Especially when you have a business, two other children, a husband, and it's just been really hard to give that much energy to only one facet of my life when I have all these facets of my life that need energy. So the balance has been way out of whack and just wish me luck with this. But the message here is, for those of you listening, if you're thinking, you know, I am way in midlife, this is not the time for me to have a baby or whatever, let me tell you, it's amazing. And if I could have told myself a year ago that it was going to be this amazing and this fun and just to let go, I think I would have had a much easier pregnancy, just emotionally. It was a pretty easy pregnancy physically, which I was excited about, but emotionally, I think I would have been less conflicted many days, even though even today, I'm still a little conflicted with, you know, being 60-something before my child is, you know, out of high school. Things to think about. All right, everyone, that's what's on my mind. And now let's get into what's on your mind. What have you been grappling, struggling with, conflicted about, all that stuff? So I'm going to kick it off with an email from Les. Les is from Gig Harbor, Washington, and she writes, "Hi, Betsy. Thanks for your podcast. I've enjoyed hearing your entrepreneurial journey and good luck with the book. We need help with the office space. It needs a refresh and an update. It still needs to function as an office, but we have several other desks we could use in the space since the kids are back to brick and mortar school and my husband no longer works from home. The first set of pictures are the office, and the others include other desks and furniture we could move. The other room in the photos is our guest room, and it is a sleeper sofa in there." All right, so let me go through Les's pictures. Oh, she sent another email later that was a PS. PS, I forgot to mention that the design phrase is colorful, as in fun and not just literally color. Contemporary. And the ask is for any ideas you may have for the office space. Thanks, Betsy. So Les sent a number of pictures. The first is of the office space, which has kind of a silver sage wall paint above the chair molding. Below the chair molding, it is kind of a creamy trim color. And the room looks to be relatively small. Right now, there's like a secretary desk, a mini fridge, a microwave, a trumpet, and an upholstered kind of dining chair. I don't have too many pictures of this space per se. It looks like there's a bay window with a desk in front of it, which is very appealing, even though it appears that your back would be to the main point of access. And there's like these glass doors, kind of like French doors that open up into the space. And it looks very cozy, very inviting. There's a slipper chair in the corner, which is just an armless upholstered chair. Looks to be a file cabinet. So even though the room is small, it's quite busy with floor lamps, ottomans, chairs, file cabinet, secretary desk, regular desk, mini fridge, microwave, trumpet. There's a lot going on in here. Then Les has sent me pictures of other desks from around the space. So there's lots of different options that we could use and lots of different images from other spaces. Now, you know, when you're thinking about what your room needs to do and what it needs to be and what pieces should go in there, you want to make a priority list of its functions. So Les mentioned that her husband no longer works in here, but who does work in here? How often are they here? What type of desk or setup do they need? How many monitors? Things like this. So, you know, I first start, before I create a floor plan, with making a list of those functions. So we know we need a desk. We know we need a music area. We know we need a refrigerator for some beverages or whatever. So kind of a little mini fridge area with a microwave. We know we want a seating area so that we can kick back with the laptop and put the feet up. So then once you've created a list of all the functions in the room, you prioritize the functions. So you put them in order of importance. So let's just say that this was an office space, which it is, but because nobody works from home, I'm just guessing or making a scenario, maybe that desk space is not the priority. Maybe the priority is actually the armchair and the restful seating and the relaxation with the laptop kicking back. Then what I would do is I'd make that seating area number one. Maybe I'd make the desk area number two. Maybe I'd make the file storage three, fridge and microwave four. I'm just giving some examples. And then you start by taking that most important function, in this case, the seating area, and moving it around the room, whether physically or mentally, exploring what the different options are for that primary function. Once you've established the two or three areas for that primary function, then you go ahead and fill in with the secondary function, which we've established just for our purposes here on the podcast would be the desk area, right? And then you fill in and decide what the ideal placements for the desk area are based on the ideal placements of that initial seating area. Then you fill in with the third function and the fourth function, et cetera. So you're really systematically coming up with the best floor plan based on the priorities you have for this space, Because right now, Les, the biggest issue I see is that we've got what you've heard me refer to on other podcasts as curse of the medium furniture. This room is so visually cluttered. I didn't mention that there's a secretary desk, a paper shredder, an end table, a floor lamp. There's just so much going on in here that it looks very cluttered. The things are spread out. And also the desk has no storage. So it's just kind of a plank of wood on top of the, what are those things called? I can't believe it's escaping me right now. The saw table legs, or what is it? You know, they're kind of the triangle or the A-frame legs. Of course, I'm just not thinking of it right now. But it'll come to me as soon as I log off this podcast. But anyway, so right now there's tons of cords exposed. There's little pieces of art. Now you're telling me that the vibe is supposed to be colorful contemporary. And I must say that this room is not very colorful at all. As I mentioned, the chair molding is just that cream. The walls are kind of a sage color. The carpeting is a tan color. And other than that, there's just not much color. There's a chartreuse desk chair, but that's about it. So I think the key would be finding that inspiration piece. Yes, even in an office, we find the inspiration piece, picking our three Roy G. Biv colors from there, using them in the 60-30-10 doses. But that all comes after you've created the ideal floor plan, because first we want this space to truly function for you, and then we want it to look aesthetically pleasing. Because not only do you have lots of medium pieces of furniture in this room, you have lots of medium art. You know, there's a small American flag kind of made of wood above the file cabinet. There's a little wooden cutout of Texas above the armchair. There's a small landscape above the three-drawer dresser, which I didn't even mention because there's just more little furniture. Or is it a secretary desk? Unsure. And then there's a small little landscape above the upholstered dining chair. So right now, this feels like the room where items that you didn't know where to put in other rooms just come to live. And for me, that's a big miss, because that's creating the issue of this room feeling, you know, not only that it lacks intention functionally, but visually, its style is just not meeting the goal of colorful or playful or whatever you want to say with that word contemporary. This is going to involve some work, Les, but I know that you can do it, and I know that you'll send me update pictures when you do. So please keep me posted, and I hope those guidelines have helped. And now it's time for a quick commercial break. Do you love this podcast? Do you wish you could learn even more? Well, we have an online class bundle. Our online class bundle is comprised of three online classes: Beautifying Your Home for Less, Styling Your Home, and the Fundamentals of Feng Shui. Each one of those three classes is between 30 and 45 minutes long and chock filled with visuals and tips, things that will help you to style your own space or help out with other spaces. Additionally, with the pack of three classes, you get an autographed copy of my book, Affordable Interior Design. You get all of that for only $99. Once again, that's the three online classes as well as the book for only $99. You just go to affordableinteriordesign.com/classes. Once again, affordableinteriordesign.com/classes to buy your bundle today. And if one of those classes sounded intriguing, but maybe you already have my book or some of the other topics are not of interest, you can buy the classes individually at that site as well. Each class is $40. So head over to affordableinteriordesign.com/classes to get your bundle or your online class today. All right, my next question comes from Kate all the way in Phoenix, Arizona. Kate writes, "Hi, Betsy, could I please ask your advice on how to dress the three windows in my living room that are larger than clerestory windows, but shorter than a regular picture window? They are set high against our 10-foot ceilings, they are not centered on the wall, and they feel awkward and disconnected in the space. I would like to move the couch up just a few inches to add flooring curtains for some warmth and depth, similar to the inspiration picture attached. However, my husband thinks that floor-length curtains look awkward with these windows since they're so high up, and I think shorter curtains would look cheap. Do you think something like the inspo photo would work? Or perchance, do you have other ideas that might help? The view out these windows is my neighbor's house, so we need to maintain some privacy. I really appreciate your insight. We've lived in this house for 4 years, and I am so stuck on what to do with these windows. Thank you so much, and wishing you and your family a wonderful year. All right, Kate, let's dig into these pictures. So you do have three windows in succession. They're each about, I would say, 30 to 36 inches wide with maybe a foot space in between. And they are kind of awkwardly high, especially if you're telling me you have 10 feet ceilings. They do look very strange, kind of floating above the sofa, because the back of the sofa hits the wall at generally between 30 and 36 inches. And then another 18 inches up from the back of the sofa starts the window, which is quite an odd ratio. Let me put it that way. Now, I do think this is a relatively easy fix because you have windows in the rest of the space that are more conventional in terms of how long they are. So my idea for this is to treat all these windows the same. I would do a rod that extends past all three windows. So each window would not get its own rod. Instead, we're using a really elongated rod. And then we're putting two panels on each window. So there would be six panels on these three windows, two on each, and there'd be a bracket on that long window separating each, a bracket on the long trio of windows, I should say, separating each of the three windows. So in other words, window treatments are the most difficult to explain, both in person, but also virtually. So if you've got that long rod spanning these three windows, we're going to have four brackets, one bracket on the very end, one bracket in between the two windows, in between windows one and two, one bracket in between windows two and three, and one bracket at the very end. Four brackets if you're counting, six panels. So two panels on each window that go all the way to the floor. And the reason that this is a no-brainer for me is what I talked about earlier, that there are other more conventional windows in this space. So you're going to hang the rod for the more conventional windows at the same height, and they're also going to get two panels. Now you're saying, Betsy, there is a window that is rather conventional, but it's right next to the door, and there's only about 3 to 4 inches of wall space before the window. With that, I would hang the bracket very close to that window that's close to the door. So I would hang the bracket for the rod maybe just 1 inch outside that window. And then on the other side, you'd replicate it just about 1 inch on that side. But on these other windows, you can hang the bracket further outside the window just to make it feel a little bit larger and more expansive and not to cut into the natural light so much. So on the other windows, not only the trio of windows, but also the singular other window that is conventional, I would hang the bracket on either side out between 4 and 8 inches to really make it feel more grand and interesting. So because those other windows exist, for me, it's quite clear what to do with these awkward windows. Now, these windows are awkward. No solution is going to be perfect, but there are solutions that are better than others. And if you have an awkward space in your house, if you have an awkward feature, look throughout the room and see if there's other elements in the room that can give you cues as what to do with the awkward feature, because that's exactly what I did here. Thanks to Kate sending me a lot of good photos, I was able to easily understand what we need to do in this room. So Kate, I hope that helped. I hope that settled the confusion with you and your husband. Just have him listen to this podcast. And if he's not on board, write me back, but cropped curtains would look ridiculous in here. All right, everyone, if you need to settle a dispute between you and your spouse, if you have a question and just can't figure out the answer, write to me. Just go over to affordableinteriordesign.com/podcast. Once again, that's affordableinteriordesign.com/podcast. There you'll see a form that you can fill out to submit your question to me right away. I am very excited to announce that Kate is a premium member. And guys, I love all my listeners, but I really love my premium members who pay $5.99 a month to get a treasure trove of bonus content, lots of extra episodes, lots of extra kind of features and details and different kinds of audio clips of me talking about travels or, you know, just off the cuff design stuff. And also Kate is supporting the podcast and keeping us on the air year after year, because March, even though I always seem to miss our anniversary, is our 9th year podcasting. Year 9 feels very exciting, very successful. And I'm so glad to still be here with you. So keep those questions coming, because you're the ones that actually give us the content week after week. Your questions fuel this podcast, and I'm always happy to help. affordableinteriordesign.com/podcast. Until next week, everyone. Bye. You've asked for it, and we have answered the call. For years, you've been saying, Betsy, you're talking about all these great design concepts, but we can't visualize them. You're describing the picture that the listener sent in of their problem, and we wish we could see that picture too. After all, a picture is worth 1,000 words, and I do my best to describe them, but there's nothing like seeing it for yourself. And that's why Affordable Interior Design, the podcast, now has a YouTube channel. Not only do we have a YouTube channel where you could see recordings and clips of these podcast episodes, we also have an Instagram, a Facebook, and so many other exciting things. You should check it out. Head over to affordableinteriordesign.com/links. Once again, affordableinteriordesign.com/links. Links. And when you go there, you will see links to our YouTube page, our Instagram page, our Facebook page, and more. Please check it out, follow, and subscribe so you can see everything I'm talking about. A big thank you to our amazing producer, Catherine Heller, to Eitan and the MBCR House Band, and to Affordable Interior Design, the sponsor of this podcast and the premier place to get an amazing look on a budget. Check out affordableinteriordesign.com. If you guys love the show, the very best way to support us is by spreading the word. Tell your friends or write us an awesome review on iTunes. So until next week, guys, thanks so much for joining us, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.